Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Do I sound better this week, Scott?
Yeah, actually you do.
Hey, welcome to episode 69 of the Snoogans of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff Singh. Alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we have Who Did It Better that is going to be tag teaming with Special Delivery Jones Mailbag.
Yep, that guy's visiting again.
We've got news. Check that out. Something we haven't had in numerous weeks.
Finally, and we probably won't have any for the next few weeks, but we'll enjoy tonight.
We're going to go over some nostalgia. We're going to have some Jax exclusives. We're going to go back to Jax.
Oh, it's not some. It's a ton.
Scott, the best way to support this show is head on over to whatamaneuver.net. Pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt. That helps put money towards the next design and numerous shirts down the road.
Did you say next design?
Yes, I did.
I wonder what that could be.
I don't know. Maybe people will be finding out in a couple weeks.
I bet you they will.
You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, and Snapchat at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. That helps us out a lot. Give us those little 5-star skis. Give us a little 2-sweet skis if you ever see us out and about also, but also review on iTunes. That helps us out. You can email us any questions, comments, wishlist, fullyposable, wfp@gmail.com. Dude, I was thinking about it. I just thought of another F just the other day.
I bet you did.
I thought of fire and ice.
Oh, there you go. So you threw an F in this week.
I did. It was just something I stumbled across the other day.
A little bit of nostalgia for our old-time listeners.
Old WCW fans will get that one. At gmail.com. And Scott, before we jump into the toy spotting, we are happy to announce that next week, sitting in on the show, will be Rant with Ant host Anthony DeStefano. He'll be sitting in with Scott and I next week discussing figures and maybe a little storylines, but we'll be discussing figures with Ant.
Yep, we are going to rant with Ant.
Yes, we are. Check out his show, rantwithant.com. You can find it on iTunes. Fun little show that him and his buddy G-Rod discuss all things wrestling. So looking forward to having Ant in next week. Scott, toy spotting. What do you say? What'd you do? Did you do anything?
No, dude. Totally lame. My wife went to Walmart a couple times, though, and she did find another Ultimate Warrior throwback Hasbro. Uh-huh. But she passed on it. I'm good with the one. It's going to go up on the wall. I'm not buying one to open up. I tend to agree with you that it's not, I think Hasbro did it better, actually, when you look at the face on it. I love the body on it. I love the removable armbands, but the face, it's okay. It's okay. I dig it, but it's just okay. It's not enough for me to buy a second one. So she called me on it. I told her to pass on it, but the wife did a little bit of toy spotting. You know, the guy with the podcast did none, just the wife.
Was talking to special guest Sean the other day, and he said that he went to Manteca Walmart and he found an Ultimate Warrior. And I told him, I was like, you know, I even like the Spring Action Ultimate Warrior better than that one. And everybody knows that we hated the Spring Action feature on Hasbro's.
Yes.
So I was telling Sean about that, and he's like, I was thinking about picking up an extra one for you if you want. And I was like, I'm glad you didn't, dude.
Yeah, and you know, it seems to me that it's easier to find Warrior now than it is Undertaker.
It is true.
Yeah, there's not as many Undertakers out there in the wild. And actually, the first one that I saw was Undertaker, but it had the bubble separating from the card, so it was a pass for me. But yeah, it seems way more people are finding Warrior. Taker's really drying up out there, so if you happen to spot him, grab him when you see him.
I did do toy spotting this week in Centennial, Colorado, Denver, Colorado, and Boulder, Colorado.
Wow, you went international. You went across the seas.
I went across the Rockies, dude. Dude, it was cool. Usually I have good luck in Colorado. I don't know what it is, man. If I'm hitting a dry spell, it's like my slump buster is Colorado.
Nice. There you go. If you're ever in a slump, man, just book a trip to Colorado.
Yeah, I went to Denver when we first got in, went over to Walmart, and where I originally found the TNFs, the three packs, the Bash at the Beach.
And the Shield.
We went back to that Walmart in hopes to find Undertaker and also pick up some stuff for the hotels and stuff. And struck out there, went back to a couple Targets, went to a couple more Walmarts, nothing in Centennial. So I was feeling a little bit of the dry spell out there. And then all of a sudden, we were heading out to our resort where we were going to have our team building.
Was it nudist?
I wish, man. Instead, we saw naked horses.
Oh, aren't they always naked, though?
Technically, yes, they are.
Okay.
Just like Donald Duck, he had the top shirt, but he never had anything down below.
Yeah, what is that all about? Why is the Connelly wearing a shirt, dude?
I know. They forgot to finish him in, dude.
Like, I've had nightmares about that, where, like, I leave the house and all I'm wearing is a shirt and nothing down below. Like, that's the stuff nightmares are made of. And here's Donald Duck walking around proud of it. It's rather shocking and disturbing.
So on the way out there, Sean goes, hey, he goes, I need to pick up some stuff from Walmart. What do you think we stop off? And I'm like, sure, why not? Another chance to hit up, see if we can find a taker. Sure enough, dude, walk in, boom. They had two takers. Sean picked up one, I picked up the other.
Perfect.
And it was awesome, dude. I was so stoked. And again, like when I found the Warrior, I had that feeling of finally, Jeff has found the Undertaker, you know? And it was that relief feeling of finally finding it. And I was just happy as can be.
Yeah, it's a huge check off the list, because then you start to get concerned that he's completely dried up. You're not going to find him again. Then you're going to have to pay secondary market prices.
So that was my toy spot in this week. Nothing at Target, even though a Toys R Us was literally half a mile away from our hotel. We didn't hit one up. We were too busy hitting up Targets and Walmarts trying to find the Undertaker.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you did, man. That's awesome. You took Toy Spotting International this week. So that's awesome. You found your Undertaker, so you get that big check off the list. But who knows? You might have missed out on a few Elite Series at that Toys R Us.
That's okay. I'm on the hunt for another Nakamura, so.
Oh, the defining moment?
Yeah. I'm on the hunt for another one, so.
Okay. Well, he's got a basic coming out, too. Might save you some money.
Meh. It's basic.
That's a good basic, though. I'm buying it.
Are you really?
It's Nakamura, dude. You know my unhealthy obsession with Nakamura right now. I'm buying all of his stuff.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just not buying basics. I'm saving all my money for the Mattel retros.
Yeah, I understand, but it's Nakamura, dude.
Yeah. Scott, we've got some news. What do you say we hit this up?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, we recorded early last week because I had to fly out to Denver. So, of course, there's news that always pops up when we do record early.
It always goes like that. Literally every single time we have to record early in a week, there's news.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. And then we've been complaining that we hadn't had any news. And guess what happens?
I tell you, I think that Mattel is really stalking us. They know when we're not going to be recording on the same day. They know when we have to record early. And they're like, dude, we're going to drop our news this week on this date. Like 3 days after they record. Let's drop it.
Bill's tapping into our emails and text messages.
I believe so.
So last week they did show off Battle Pack 47. Charlotte and Sasha, Bray and Harper, Luke Harper, the Hart Foundation in blue, and Roman and Rusev. So little notes that I made regarding this. Hart Foundation in blue, I'm excited about until I saw that they slapped that Brett face that they kind of consider the 86, 87 look of Brett back on it. They put the head on that one in blue.
You're not a fan of that sculpt?
Not at all. That head sculpt, that head scan is just awful. I didn't like the Elite. I don't like this.
I don't mind it so much, but I think I'm more excited that they're actually coming out with the hearts in blue. Like, I love the pink and the black, don't get me wrong, but there's something about that blue, the Heart Foundation in blue, that just totally jumps me back to like 85 super early Heart Foundation where they actually rotated between colors.
Yeah.
I just kind of dig that look. So I've already got the Elite set loose, so I'm probably going to pass on that set. But if I didn't have the Elites, I would be picking up that Heart Foundation in blue.
If I can find it for cheap on Amazon, I will probably pick it up there.
You can wait till like Black Friday or something?
Dude, there's a lot of WWE figures on Amazon that you can find for dirt cheap.
Oh, Amazon Prime Day is coming up in July. They might have it then.
Possibly.
Yep.
Now, let me go to the good. The Harper is probably my favorite figure out of these four sets.
So great.
The Harper figure is terrific.
Yeah, I love that Harper. That it might be worth buying the battle pack just for that Harper.
Well, I just want the Harper.
Yeah.
They retooled Sasha's face and it looks better.
It does look better. It's still not 100%, but it's good. I'm probably going to buy that two-pack for Peyton just to let her open it because she's going to start playing with wrestling figures. I'm not giving her much choice in the matter. I'm going to start having her get some because she's already got a loose Bailey. Actually, two loose Baileys. And so I'm going to get her that two-pack so she can open it. I do like it, but being that I already have both autographs, probably just going to let Peyton open that one up.
I'm happy that they retooled that face. No longer is her zombie the best-looking face of the Sasha figures.
Finally.
Right? Roman and Rusev. Rusev, it looks like, got a new scan from what I could tell. Looks good.
Yeah, his hair sure is pretty in it.
Yeah, not buying it. It's another Roman, another Rusev.
Yeah, the next Rusev I'm going to buy is probably going to be Handsome Rusev with the big beard and the short hair.
Handsome Rusev.
It's Handsome Rusev.
They also announced new TNF elites.
Oh, yes, they did.
I'm pretty stoked about this.
Dude, you and me both.
Chad Gable and Jordan. I'm hoping they redo Gable's face. They have to do that for the elite.
Please, Mattel, give us a better Gable.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to go on record and say I hope that they retooled both their faces.
You said tool and faces.
I did.
Dude, it's episode 69. It's all fair game in this episode.
We're working blue on this episode, dude.
Right? Just like the Heart Foundation, we're working blue.
Seth Rollins, I'm guessing maybe another Seth in white. I don't know what they're going to put him in.
I'm hoping it's maybe NXT Rollins.
Yeah, maybe. That wouldn't be bad.
It's a then, now, and forever. Although I'm guessing Seth would be the now. So it's probably like his new, maybe like his WrestleMania outfit or something.
Possibly.
No, but it wouldn't be out that quick though.
Well, when are these due out though?
Well, the last set came out around January, right?
Yeah.
The Macho Man and the Natural Disaster. So maybe June?
Possibly. July, maybe the middle of the year. And then my favorite, and I am so stoked for this, and I'm hoping they retool the face on this one too. I said retool again.
You said it again.
Miss Elizabeth, dude, I'm so stoked for this Miss Elizabeth figure.
How great is it that we might possibly get the Macho Man defining moment and the Miss Elizabeth then, now, and forever at the same time? Dude, my dream is to walk into a toy store, be it Toys R Us, I'm sorry, it would have to be Walmart because Walmart's the only one that gets the TNFs. My dream is to walk into Walmart and find the Macho Man defining moment and the then, now, and forever Elizabeth like right next to each other on the pegs or on the shelf. Dude, I'm totally grabbing both of them. I cannot wait until that Elizabeth comes out.
I know. I'm so stoked. I'm curious what outfit they're going to put her in. Probably. I hope they kind of go back to the LJN purple where she was in purple.
I would be okay with that. I would even be okay if they just really re-released her old elite. I'd be 100% okay with that because she was scarce. Not many people scored her.
Oh, dude, if it wasn't for the editor, I wouldn't have had her.
That's what I'm saying, is not a lot of people were able to get their hands on that figure. So, I mean, I would be totally okay with it if they just re-released that elite. I don't think that they will. I think that you're right. They'll probably put her in a different color like the purple or something. But, you know, we've got to wait and see. Big question marks on that Seth and the Elizabeth.
And a lot of people were stoked about this one. There were two new Funkos announced. Shinsuke Nakamura and Zack Ryder. I'm stoked for both. Getting both. Can't wait.
Yeah, of course. I don't usually buy Funkos. We know this. We've had this conversation before. But a Shinsuke will definitely be added to my collection.
Scott, FTC news. What you got?
The FTC news for the week is that the next wave of Rising Stars and ROH Series 2 should be out next month.
They did show a picture of Cliff Compton this past Monday. It's a good looking figure. I like the jacket. Has that Cliff Compton look. It's the best way to put it.
Yeah, they've released a few teaser images of him so far. I like what I see in the figure. So kids, save your dimes and your pennies because those figures are going to be hitting next month. And dude, Bobby Fish,
Adam Cole,
Delirious, Adam Cole. Oh my gosh, what a set.
I know. And then the next wave of Rising Stars. Who was in that one?
So Rising Stars Series 2 is Joey Ryan, Tama Tonga, Cliff Compton, and Jeff, who's the last one?
Kenny Omega.
Kenny, oh, how could I forget Kenny Omega? Come on, man. Mike the Cleaner is going to be so disappointed in me.
Oh, dude, he's going to fly out to the Bay Area, drop a couple elbows on you.
Throw a beat down. He will be the cleaner. And then ROH Series 2 is going to be Bobby Fish, Adam Cole, Delirious, and
Kyle O'Reilly.
what an amazing set of figures. They all look great. So yeah, save your dimes and pennies. You're going to need them.
Scott, actually, listeners, are you sick of Jack Shet? Hope not, because we have exclusives.
Yeah, if you're not sick of them yet, you will be after this episode.
So let's hit up the nostalgia segment.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees.
Scott, for this segment, we are going to go over exclusives that Jax put out there for numerous different events. We had from Toy Fair to Jax employees to ringside, we had numerous Jax exclusives limited in some areas. So what I thought we'd do is we're not going to go over all because we're looking at our notes and there is a laundry list of figures out there that were one of 20, one of 25, one of 1,000, so on and so forth. So I thought we'd do is we kind of start off the one that was extremely limited, Scott, that was one of 5. Which one was that one?
There was a one of 5 Ultimate Warrior that came out, and he had American face paint, and he was packaged with the world title. I don't know what that warrior was based off of. You would think right off the bat, Rumble 91 when he faced Sergeant Slaughter, but it's not. It's a different looking warrior. I don't know what era warrior that is or what it's based on, but it's 1 of 5. And Jeff checked the price. That thing's going for $15,000. So let's be clear. If you're ever going to go back and try to get all of the classic superstars from the base series all the way through the limited editions and the exclusives, this is where it's going to cost you the most money, are these exclusives and the limited editions. They go for a ton of money. That one, for example, 1 of 5, $15,000. So we're talking like Greg the Hammer Valentine Hasbro money right there.
And that's only 1 of 1. This is 1 of 5. And it's right. Still going for $15,000.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that Valentine looks better. So there you go.
I agree with you. The Warrior's cool. It's just, I don't know if I wouldn't pay $15,000 for it.
I wouldn't either for sure. I'd be tempted, like if I had that money laying around, if it was based on his 91 match with Slaughter, because he was wearing that really cool jacket. He had the whole American face paint thing going on and the cool trunks and tassels and everything, the killer boots.
Yep.
But it's not. It's not even that match. So it wouldn't hold any weight for me or any significance to want to spend $15,000. But again, you know, if you're looking at completing 100% your Classic Superstars collection, there you go. $15,000. That's all it'll cost you.
Then Jax, well, I shouldn't say then, but Jax did also give out figures for their employees. And these were very rare for the employees. So apparently Jax only had 20 people working for him or something because it was 1 of 20. This one was my favorite. And I don't know if you saw this one, Scott, but it was Roddy Piper, kind of reminiscent of WrestleMania 2. He had these gold boxing gloves where he faced Mr. T. The figure had gold boxing gloves. Piper's in all plaid. I love this figure. I've seen it numerous times on eBay. It's too expensive for my taste, but every single time I see it, I'm like, man, I would love to have that figure in my collection.
Yeah, they did employee gifts. They did a Piper, which was 1 of 20, the one you're talking about now. Mm-hmm. They did a 1 of 20 Sergeant Slaughter, and they did a 1 of 25 Ric Flair, and he was in a white robe. I would guess that these three would be the hardest to get because they were specifically given to Jax employees. So you'd have to hope that somehow, some way, someone that you know happens to know a Jax employee and they happen to get their hands on one of these, or it's a guy that just needs the money and he happens to have one of these laying around that he's going to post it up to one of the sites for sale. These, to me, would be the hardest ones to get. Because, again, you're talking 1 of 20, 1 of 20, and 1 of 25. That's almost impossible to get your hands on.
And the Sergeant Slaughter is awful. I do not like that Sergeant Slaughter. There are so many better Slaughters out there. And if I was an employee at Jax, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, why are you giving me this crap?
Yeah. There's a couple different Sergeant Slaughters that you could go with. I happen to like that Toy Fair exclusive. In fact, that's the one that I've got signed up on the wall. I think that one's really good. The other one, yeah, not so much.
This one was awful. The Ric Flair in white with the white robe I thought was terrific.
Yeah, it's a good looking figure.
That one, I'd be like, oh, they do love me after all. You know, oh, they hate me with the slaughter, but they just gave me this flair. They love me.
Yeah, and they actually made five more of those too. Go figure.
So, as I said, there's so many figures on this list, and there were some that I really wanted to touch on. One of 100, and this was back in 2004, it was New York City Toy Fair giveaway. One of 100, Warrior Face, or excuse me, an Ultimate Warrior, and it had Ultimate Warrior's face on his trunks and his knee pads. A terrific warrior. I think this one is better than the one of five.
Yeah, and man, one of 100.
Right, right. In 05, now this one I really liked. In 05, it was one of 100 Terry Funk, and it was a New York Toy Fair giveaway, but he had his, I believe he had his Funk U shirt on.
Yes.
Half of his face was bloody.
Yep.
That figure was awesome. Sure, they can put blood on that one, but they couldn't give us blood and maximum sweat.
Yeah, right?
So another one that was also got me cracking up. This one was a 2006, one of 100, Hulk Hogan Toy Fair magazine giveaway. And this is where he had on red tights and he had the man pelt.
Yeah, yeah, it totally was a Joey Ryan man pelt.
And one thing that I noticed Jax did is if their figures, if they were limited to like one of 100 or whatever, they always put a little tag on the wrestler's left quad that said one of 100, one of 1,000, so on and so forth. As I said, Jax had many, many different figures that were limited. There was Ringside Fest in 04 that had a Roddy Piper. There was a Sonny in a Toy Fair magazine in 2009. A Hillbilly Jim, Road to WrestleMania 21 tour giveaway. I believe he had red elbow pads in that one, Scott.
That's correct. That was the difference between the limited edition and then the mass produced Classic Superstar series, is that the Hillbilly Jim giveaway had the red elbow pads on it, whereas the other one had, I believe it was brown or black elbow pads on it.
That one was one of 5,000. There was a Dusty Rhodes internet exclusive that was one of 3,000.
Polka dot Dusty.
You can look this up online. Really easy to find. You go back and you look at those and you're like, oh man, those were so sweet.
I think my favorite out of all of them was the Bobby the Brain from the 2006 New York City Toy Fair giveaway.
Was that when he was in the Weasel outfit?
That's the one.
Yes.
And he was one of 100. And I remember seeing that when it came out and it showed that that was the giveaway at New York. And it was all I could do not to reach out to anybody I knew to try to get me one, because I wanted one of those so bad. To this day, that's one that I would just love to have in my collection, the Bobby Heenan in the Weasel suit. And I know there's a few. I've seen them over the years. They've been on eBay or whatever. Some have been signed. That's one I would like to add to the collection one day. Just a killer looking figure.
I would love to have that figure, but people are asking a little bit too much for it. And it would be cool to have Bobby sign it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but see, that's the problem with the limited editions and the exclusives, is that they go for so much money. It's so hard to try to complete your collections when they go for that much.
The limited editions more so than the exclusives.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So speaking of the exclusives, the first one that I looked up was a Hulk Hogan. It was called Spam. And it was limited to 3,000. And this is where Hogan was in a black and white tuxedo.
Sleeves cut off, brother.
Sun's out, buns out, dude.
Yeah.
This one... This one is where it was reminiscent of the 86 Slammies, where Hogan was playing a guitar and up on stage and just ridiculousness.
What are you talking about? That was awesome.
Can't believe I stayed up for that. That was terrible.
No, he inspired me. He's like, dude, if I ever have to wear a tux, I'm cutting the sleeves off, dude.
I don't remember your sleeves being cut off at your wedding.
I know. I didn't live up to it. But I was in 86. I was inspired.
Now this one I remember a lot of, and I remember finding these a lot in Toys R Us's, Superstar Billy Graham. They had multiple Toys R Us exclusives of him. There was one of him in blue jeans. There was one of green attire, pink suit, red attire. I found these all over, dude.
Yeah, they were pretty plentiful. So these exclusives that we're going to be talking about now, most of you have seen over the years. If you were a classic superstar collector, you've seen these on the pegs. And like Jeff just mentioned, the Superstar Billy Graham, these were out in mass. These were easily found out in the wild.
Yeah, and they actually got discounted too.
Yeah, they did. They did go on clearance at Toys R Us.
I remember going to Toys R Us by when you and I were working together over in Antioch.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Billy Graham all the time one of 14,000, one of 7,000. I'm like, are the all 14,000 at this Toys R Us?
Yeah, you would think so. At least half of them.
Yeah, right. Going down the list, you said the Slaughter was the one that you got signed?
Yeah, I took that when we met him at Lee Woo Optometry.
Yep.
Who, by the way, were co-sponsors of the APW event that I went to on Saturday night, thanks to you and the editor.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. They have an LWO logo. Go figure.
And you know what's funny, dude? I was watching Raw. Remember the video where Bayley is standing next to Cena, like a young Bayley, and she's standing
in
That was at Lee Woo's optometry.
Yep, that sure was.
Oh, dude, I wish I would have gone.
Yeah, they were there. I think Lee and his family were all there, too. But they were prominently featured throughout the show. They had a video board up that was rotating through the sponsors and then advertising upcoming shows. And the LWO, Lee Woo Optometry, kept showing up there. I was laughing. I'm like, yeah, I went and met Sergeant Slaughter there. And so, yeah, I did buy that Toy Fair exclusive just to get signed at that show or at that signing.
Going down the list, we had ringside collectibles. You had Taz with a towel in the package or Taz with towel around the waist.
Yeah, and actually, they've sold them loose. They sold them damaged packaging. They had Taz a couple different ways on the ringside site.
By the way, we have a ringside promo code.
We do?
We do. If they're not running any sales, because I guess the sales are better than our promo code, if you use Fully Posable, you get 10% off.
Hey, let's save the people some money.
Yeah, it's Fully Posable, all one word, and you get 10% off. So, dude, you and I can use it if we want to pre-order the Finn Balor.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, why not? Throw your promo code. Yeah,
hey, go save some money.
Yeah, use promo code Fully Posable. I forgot all about that.
We'll mention it again at the end of the show, too.
Yeah, I'm too worried about whatamaneuver.net.
Yeah, right? What, maybe a new design or something?
Hopefully in the next couple weeks, possibly.
Maybe.
Yeah,
we'll see. Maybe talk about it.
Now, this one I never found at any Walmarts around here. It was a Hulk Hogan exclusive in blue trunks and white boots. It was a U.S. Walmart exclusive. I never found it around here, dude. I had to actually order that from... No, I take that back. I had to buy it from someone at a wrestling show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was one of Kirk White's BTW shows.
That's one, if I had seen it at Walmart, I would have bought it.
Yeah, exactly. I never found it, too. Never could find it. It drove me nuts.
Kirk White bailed you out, huh?
Yep. Kirk White's shows bailed me out. They had multiple runs of Hogan. There was another U.S. Walmart exclusive. It was red and yellow tie-dye attire. Hulk Hogan, red and yellow tie-dye without knee brace, U.S. Walmarts. There was a Canadian Walmart Hogan with blue trunks, white boots. Just a lot of Hogans. But there was one that I had to have. I completely overpaid on it, but it's okay because I had to have it.
You didn't know at the time you were overpaying, though. At the time, it seemed like a good deal.
Yeah. It was a Jax WrestleMania ticket promotion mail-in. And you and I have talked about it before where...
Yes.
You bought Classic Superstars and you took the tickets out and you mailed them in. Well, Scott and I being mint on card people, we didn't do that. We didn't take...
Nope, that was a horrible promotion.
Yeah, we didn't take the ticket out. That kind of defeated the purpose, but it was an American-made Hulk Hogan. He had a white American-made shirt on. He had a weightlifting belt. He had the machine mask next to him. Oh, and he had the red and yellow Hulkamania bandana on.
Yep.
I had to have this figure, but I refused to open up the packages. So I was like, oh, I'll just buy it at some show for maybe 30, 40 bucks. It wasn't 30 or 40 bucks that I paid for it.
How much did you pay, Jeff?
I went over 100.
Damn.
Yeah, I went. Oh, wait. No, I apologize. I apologize. I was able to score this under 100. I talked him down to 85, I believe. 90.
Well, see, that's not bad because do the math. I forget how many cards or how many tickets you had to send in, but it was at least 10, right? I think it had to be 10 tickets and then shipping and handling or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was around, because I forget which series that was for.
I believe the tickets started in like series 9, somewhere around there, series 9.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right.
So if it was like 10 tickets, obviously that's 10 different figures. Or if you're one of those jerks that cuts packaging open, you're not buying any of the figures, you're just hoisting the tickets. At 12 bucks a pop for the figure, that's $120 plus your shipping and handling is probably another 10 bucks. So you paid $85 for what you otherwise would have spent $130 on. So you still, at the end of the day, got a really good deal.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
All these years later, don't feel bad anymore, dude. You're all good.
There was a Shop Zone exclusive WWE, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Gold Dust Ringside Collectibles, which you can use our promo code FULLYOPPOSABLE, get 10% off your order. But don't do it during a sale, because the sales seem to have better... I gotta be honest. Just being honest, the sales seem to be better than just using our promo code.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was also a Ric Flair WWE 24/7 promotion exclusive, limited to 3,000. So there was a lot of limited editions and exclusives that Jax pumped out there. I still want that Roddy Piper. I would love to have that Roddy Piper employee gift one where he has the gold gloves.
Good luck, dude. That might be your toughest score ever.
I would also love the Greg Valentine Hasbro Rhythm and Blues.
That's not going to happen.
Ah, darn it.
Yep. You're best off buying like a reproduction of that.
Yeah.
Like having somebody do a custom and just pretend.
Probably.
We could still put it in a glass case and like put lasers around it and stuff so it's well protected.
So, Scott, we still have a couple more series of two-packs. We could probably cut those out.
What do you mean? Cut them out entirely and not talk about them?
Yeah, we could talk. The rest of the lines, I mean, after... What was the last one we talked about? The Rock and Roll Express, British Bulldogs, and the Russians?
I believe that was it, yes.
After that series, it kind of went downhill big time.
Well, that's okay. We could talk about them and bash them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, let's do that.
Yeah, let's get out our bats, and we'll do that next week.
Yeah, we'll do that next week. We can talk about three packs, and then we'll kind of switch it up. We'll have time. We can figure out if we go to OSFTM, ECW. Let me see. What else? We got some. I guess we can talk about Toy Biz again. I don't know. No. That was your love.
Yeah, but only certain ones. Like, we had that conversation when we talked about Toy Biz Series 1 was... I liked series one, but then they started coming out with like all those offlines, and I kind of stuck to like the basics of them, like the basic series. I didn't buy all the like the gimmicky figures.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know. It's kind of a tough one. We'll have to talk about it.
I refuse to go into Ruthless Aggression because that got so redundant, just like Deluxe Aggression did.
Yeah, there's way too many.
Yeah.
There's way too many. When you're having to discuss Jamie Noble figures 10 times over again, that's a little bit too much.
That is true. Scott, your secret question is getting bumped this week.
You know, I really hate when that happens, dude.
I know you do, because the past couple weeks, you've actually been happy with your secret question.
I have. So I'm actually a little bit disappointed this week that you're bumping it. But it's okay. We've got stuff to talk about.
Yes. So this week, Who Did It Better and Special Delivery Jones Mailbag are teaming up for this once-in-a-lifetime occurrence event.
Yeah, they're standing on each other's shoulders and forming a mega person. Or a mega segment, if you will.
So I don't even know whose music it is. We'll figure it out. So let's cue whatever music is about to come on.
Should be the Million Dollar Man's for no reason at all.
Wait, did Hogan and Macho Man have music?
No. Nope, they came out separate, dude.
Ah, I guess we could use the mixture of Edge and Randy Orton. The mashup.
Or Fandango and Tyler Breeze.
Oh, now you're speaking my language, dude.
I know.
Let's hit up that music. Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious. And I will defend. I will defend. Scott, we're going to start off with Special Delivery Jones Mailbag. We haven't had one of these in a while. We actually got quite a few questions, I guess, since we recorded early.
Yeah, they came in like a week and a half, so that's good.
Yeah.
Stacked them up.
And I'm excited to announce this is our very first audio question. We want to thank Dave Dynasty. Is at The Dave Dynasty on Twitter. Check him out. He's got a great podcast. Check him out on DaveDynasty.com. He has two episodes that I highly recommend if you do go on there. One is with Brian Pillman's son, and that interview was excellent. Dave actually recommended that one to me, and I had to listen to that one when I was flying out to Denver. The other one was one with Fred Ottman, former Typhoon, Shockmaster, Tugboat. That was a good interview as well. So if you get a chance, head on over to DaveDynasty.com and check out those two interviews. Highly, highly recommend them. So Scott, our first audio question comes from Dave Dynasty.
Hey guys, this is Dave Dynasty. My Twitter handle is at the Dave Dynasty. Great show, love listening. Keep up the great work. My question is this: where do you guys stand on customized figures? Have you ever purchased any? Do you collect any? I don't personally have any in my collection. From what I've seen online, it appears to me that the Hasbros are the best to customize. They end up looking the best. But what are your guys' opinions, and do you own any? And if so, what's your favorite piece that you own? Thanks. Keep the great work. Fig Life.
Thank you, Dave, for your audio question. And by the way, Dave, get better. He had a little minor surgery, or little surgery, so I hope you have a speedy recovery. Scott, let's get to Dave's question. First off, I have to say the Hasbros do make the best looking customs.
Yeah, from what I've seen with the Hasbros is it's a matter of removing the Hasbro head and putting a Jax head on it. Those are like some of the best ones that I've seen.
There was a time, I would say back in 2010, 2011, that I was really going on eBay and looking at customs, but I was just looking. I never was tempted. I do have to say that back in 04 or 05, yeah, I'd say, actually, you know what I'd say? It was about 05. There were two times that I actually almost pulled the trigger and bought customs. The first one was an AWA Midnight Rockers 2-pack, and it was a Jax custom. They had the cloth zebra shirts and the sunglasses. It was almost like you took the Remcos and made Midnight Rocker Jax 2-packs. And I almost purchased them, but I thought the guy was charging too much for them. They were well done, I do have to say that, but the price that he was asking, I didn't think warranted it. And in my head, I kept thinking, oh, I'll just wait until a Midnight Rockers Jax 2-pack comes out. But I never did get that one. The other one was a 3-pack, and this was before Ivan and Nikita came out in the Jax Classic 2-pack. They made a 3-pack of Ivan, Nikita, and Crusher Khrushchev. And I almost bought that one, but again, that one was asking too much money. In fact, the guy's custom, and this was back in 05, 06, the guy's custom of Ivan Koloff was actually better than Jack's Ivan Koloff's. I almost pulled the trigger on that one, but again, I felt like the guy was asking too much on that one.
It's hard to determine a price point. I mean, you're having to pay for the guy's time to customize it. You're having to pay for, you know, if he's had to remove any parts and he's using multiple figures to make one figure, you're also having to cover his cost of the figure too. So it's really hard to determine what a fair or unfair price on a custom is. I personally have never bought a custom. I've been tempted like you. There have a couple times I was on eBay and they had a Mega Powers 2-pack, Hogan and Savage, and it was full cloth everything. Savage in a cloth robe, Hogan in a cloth shirt. It looked awesome. It was full on Mega Powers. They had custom trunks on that said Mega Powers on them. It wasn't sloppy at all, super clean. And obviously we never got a Savage in the Classic Superstars, so I was more tempted because of that. But like you, the price tag kind of scared me off. I think it was like $120 for the 2-pack. Mm-hmm. So I passed. I have been tempted a few times. There's a guy, and I want to say his name is either Scribble24 or Scribbles Customs. I can't remember which it is, or it could be Scribble24 Customs. That guy makes probably the best Jax Customs I have ever seen. I haven't looked at his work in some time, and like you, I'll go on and just look at customs randomly on eBay just to see what's out there. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of kind of seeing what guys are able to do with like some 80s talents like Magnum TA, or like you mentioned the Russians, or the Rock and Roll Express, even early Road Warriors, because there haven't been many samples of those. Just kind of seeing what guys can do with those, but they're always really expensive and you get both ends of the spectrum. They're either really, really good or they're really, really terrible. And the ones that are really, really good, you are going to pay a mint for. So it's a matter of maybe I just wait until Mattel comes out with a set. Or maybe I wait until Figures Toy Company gets a license on these guys and then they can make them. It's going to be cheaper in the long run to just wait, I think. But every once in a while, you do see a custom, you're like, man, that's really good. And in every case, the price point is going to be what scares you away. But I mean, hey, more power to you. If you can afford the custom and it's well done, that's a great piece to add to your collection because it's almost a one of one. So and it makes really for a really good conversation piece. So it's really just up to the individual collector if they want to invest in something like that or not.
There's another guy on Twitter. His Twitter handle is at wrestle figures, and he does customs of Hasbros, and he does a fantastic job. There's been a few times where I was going to ask him, hey, how much for that, just out of curiosity, because they are just that good.
Are you thinking gobbledygooker with egg?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Mark it down.
I would be tempted.
We love seeing customs, too. We love checking them out. We love looking at them. Obviously, if you just put Red Trunks and Arn Anderson's head on it and say, hey, look at my custom of Arn Anderson, it's going to be like, eh. But if you put the time and the effort into it, man, we love checking it out. We'll be more than happy to retweet it. If you are putting them up on eBay, we'll retweet it, and hopefully you can get a couple extra bucks in your pocket.
Yeah, the ones that really interest me the most and would probably have my attention of a purchase would be a custom Hasbro of ones that I actually wanted them to make but never got, i.e. the Brainbusters, Powers of Pain, Power and Glory, figures like that that I never got. I would be very tempted if it was a well-done custom to actually invest in and add to my collection.
I hope we answered Dave's question again. Dave, heal up quickly from that surgery. And again, check out DaveDynasty.com. You can go back and listen to those episodes with Brian Pillman's son and Fred Ottman, or Tugboat, or Shockmaster. Just two really good episodes that I highly recommend.
Thanks for the question, Dave.
Scott, question number two. Have you ever bought a figure you weren't crazy about just for the sake of having it signed?
Oh, yeah. Numerous times. Examples, the Scott and Rick Steiner Grip and Flip 2-pack.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Good call, dude.
Yep, I have that up on my wall, hand-signed by both guys. I purchased the Jax 2-Tough set of the New Age Outlaws. Got that signed at the table right next to the Steiner signing their Grip and Flip figures. bought a Ken Patera Classic Superstars that I would have not otherwise purchased. What else do I have up on the wall that I normally wouldn't buy? I have a Hurricane figure with the one of, 1,000 or whatever it was, those big gold belts that came on the first couple of series of Mattels.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I bought a Hurricane with the big gold belt just to get signed. I otherwise would have passed on that one as well. There might be a few more up there that I just bought because they happened to be at a signing and I kind of needed a figure of them, but those are the ones that jump out at me right off the bat. I mean, I wouldn't buy a Ken Patera figure under any circumstances unless he's at an autograph signing and I'm like, let's put another figure on the wall.
I actually have a funny story. We were at Access on Thursday night in Florida and we'd just gotten Cesaro and Sheamus's autograph, missed out on Ron Simmons, and we started to walk around and I was like, you know what? I'm kind of done. You know, I don't have figures for anyone else. Let's just go have dinner with Chris D. Petrillo from Figures Toy Company. I said, let's go have dinner with Chris. And Celeste goes, okay. As I walk around the corner, I see the Ascension sitting at one of the booths, and their line was super, super short. I looked at the editor and I said, do you see how short the Ascension's line is? And Celeste goes, yeah. I said, their figures are in the superstore. I could run in there real quick, buy their figures, and get them signed right now. And Celeste looks at me and she goes, how many figures do you have right now back at the hotel? And I was like, quite a few. And she goes, you cannot fit two more figures. I was like, I can make them fit. And she said, look, you're going to overpay for those figures just to get the Ascension to sign them. And I said, uh-huh. Because this is what's going through my head as a collector right now.
I'm actually shocked that you didn't do it. I'm literally sitting here in shock.
The editor talked me out of it. And I ended up not doing it. They had their elites from... Which elite is it? Elites 47.5, I think it is.
I literally would have been in a dead run to the superstore and a dead run back to the Ascension line, dude. I guarantee you I would have.
Do you know how much they were charging for elites at that place?
If it was any more than 25, I would not have been in a dead run to get their figures.
It was 25 exactly.
I would have paid it.
Yeah, $50.
$50 and free autographs?
Yeah.
Go on eBay. How much is a signed set of Elite Ascensions going to run you?
Is there any signed Elite Ascensions up there?
Much less, is there a market for the signed Ascension figures? Are people clamoring for these? We don't know, but I would have done it, dude, just to have two more signed figures up on the wall. I would have absolutely gone and dropped $50 on two figures to get signed for free.
I actually retweeted this. Did you see what Victor from the Ascension said to a fan on Twitter the other day?
No.
He said something like, hey, WWE Live Pittsburgh or something like that, come out tonight. You know, the Ascension will be there. Some dude wrote, I will be there in my Ascension t-shirt. Victor tweeted him back and said, you will be the only one.
At least he knows.
I know, dude. I thought that was great, man. I thought that was absolutely fantastic.
Could we just talk about how sad it is what they've done with the Ascension? I mean, not to get sidetracked into, you know, a wrestling discussion here, but man, these guys were NXT tag champs for how long?
Right.
And then they finally bring them up to the main roster with pretty good fanfare, and they're immediately just losing all the time to everyone. Like, what? And those are huge guys, like, and they can kind of go. I mean, like, I can't name any great Ascension matches, but I mean, they're at least believable to be, like, you know, beastly in the ring. But dude, all they do is lose. They had a very, very short push right around, it would have been, I guess, February. It would have been when we went to that Oakland house show.
Mm-hmm.
They had kind of a small push then, and then it was immediately dropped. And they're right back to jobber status if they're even featured on TV at all. Like, it just bothers me, dude. Like, I think they're deserving of more. Much like American Alpha, you know, barely even being featured on SmackDown these days. You know, there's just more they could do with them. Maybe they need to push SmackDown to 3 hours.
Do you remember when the Ascension first came in?
Yeah, they were being teased as Road Warriors knockoffs. I think they were even saying as much on TV.
Yeah, do you remember whoever the writer was for the Ascension did them no justice.
At all.
When they came in and they said, we're greater than the Road Warriors. I forget what other tag teams they compared themselves to. And you're kind of looking at them like anyone, any casual wrestling fan that's sitting back on the couch that remembers the Road Warriors and looking at these two guys, they're like, oh,
Yeah, too soon?
Yeah, exactly. So I think whoever was writing for them did them no justice. That kind of hurt them right there. And then I think a couple weeks later, they were getting clotheslined from hell from JBL.
Yeah, jobbers to the old timers. Like, I just don't get it. But that all goes back to, I think they could do more with them. And I would have gladly gone and paid $50 for two figures to get signed right there. If anything, it's two more figures hanging on my wall. And those Ascension figures are awesome.
I kind of kicked myself. The editor was right at the time, but looking back, I'm like,
Don't worry, dude. For the next 6 months, every episode, I'll remind you of that. I'll be like, hey, dude, remember that one time you went to Access and didn't get the Ascension autographs on the Elites?
Are we also going to bring up Strikeforce losing the belts at WrestleMania 4 and me going up?
No. That won't come up weekly.
Okay.
That's a special occasion one.
I apologize, whoever sent in that question. Excellent question, by the way. I apologize. I forgot to write down your name. That's my error. Scott, next question. If a company sold a figure in box with autograph, would that be appealing to you, or is it the thrill in getting the sign? This came from at RHYS Murphy on Twitter. It's all about the thrill in getting the figure signed in person for me. I'll give you an example. Like Figures Toy Company, I'm just kind of throwing this out there because it's kind of still going on right now, has Blue Meanie autographs on their website. I wanted to make sure I was there when I got the Blue Meanie autograph. So it's not appealing. I want to be there when they sign it. I want to witness this. I want to see them use the paint pen. I want to see all this. It's a kind of like everything going on around me, and I just want to watch it.
Yeah, I agree with you to a point. Now, I do have two figures that are signed, and I know they're hand signed by the people. It's a Hulk Hogan and an Ultimate Warrior, and those are the only two that I've sent out to a place that was hosting a signing with those two guys and was mailed the figure back. Is there a piece of me that wishes I could have been there in front of them? Yes. But at the same time, like, if I hadn't sent that Hogan and Warrior figure away, I wouldn't have Hogan and Warrior autographs in my collection. I know they're hand-signed. I have their certificates with them and everything, and actually a picture of them signing it, too. I'm okay with all of that, but there is a small piece that's taken out because it is the thrill of them signing it. Now, that said, if WWE specifically put out, it doesn't even have to be necessarily like an exclusive figure or anything, but if they were to do like, say, a Shinsuke Defining Moments limited to 100 autographs on the figure, I would buy it.
You would?
I would absolutely buy it. I'd still want to go meet him in person one day, say at an Access or a Wizard Con or something like that. But if they were to offer one over their website, WWE specifically, I would absolutely purchase it. Much like if FTC offered a signed Chris Hero figure, I would purchase it.
I wouldn't, dude. I wouldn't. I would have to be there in person. Like, if I ever got Cassius Ohno's autograph, I would take the FTC figure and have him sign it. I have to be there when he signs it. I don't know what it is, dude. But to your point, you have an Ultimate Warrior autograph to where I don't because of not being there. But as you said, you mailed the figure in. It's not like you're buying a figure off of a website. You mailed your own figure in. You have the picture. You have the COA. Without being there, you kind of were there a little bit, a kind of an offshoot.
I know they touched my figure. That's that's something, right? His fingerprints are on it.
Exactly. So you and I kind of differ on that, but...
A little bit. And, you know, it really depends on who the figure is, too.
Such as?
Well, like I said, with Shinsuke.
Oh.
If WWE did a Shinsuke figure, absolutely. But if they did a Ric Flair figure, it's probably a pass for me. I mean, I've already got a Flair signature in my collection, so that makes it an easier pass. But it would just depend on who it was. Like somebody that would cost me a ton of money at Access or something like that. Like say, I don't know, Seth Rollins. You know, if I really had to have a Seth Rollins signature and there was no chance of me being able to afford it at Access, but I could afford their figure hand signed, mm-hmm. I would probably go ahead and purchase it from them.
Okay.
But there is that small piece. It's like, darn it, I wish I could have just met him.
Right, right. Because you get to shake their hand. You get a picture sometimes. If it's like an Access, you get a picture. Just stuff like
that. Right, right.
Scott, our next question comes in from one of our longtime listeners, Connor Langan.
Connor, what's up, dude?
Number one, which feud do you think was better? Christian versus Orton in 2011 for the world title or Edge versus Cena for the WWE title in 06?
Oof. That's an excellent question.
It really is.
That's a really, really good question because everybody wanted Christian to get his first title win.
Yep.
Man, I'm going to say Edge versus Cena.
I will agree with you. What is your reasoning?
They both had like hardcore matches. Mm-hmm. Both set of feuds had their set of hardcore matches. Mm-hmm. But the one that's most memorable to me is Cena giving the AA to Edge off of a ladder through a table.
Right.
That was awesome. That whole feud to me was awesome. I really got into that one. I got into Orton and Christian too, but I think Edge and Cena, that really solidified Edge. I mean, he was big before that, mm-hmm. but I think that 06 feud with Cena really solidified him as a top of the card guy. And it's unfortunate he retired so soon after that in 2011. Who knows what he'd be doing today? Probably more great things. But I think that 06 feud really put him at the top of the card as a guy that could main event any time. And unfortunately, Christian's win in 2011, he was super injury prone after that, unfortunately, and he did the small heel turn. It just didn't do the same for Christian that it did for Edge. So that's why I got to give the edge to Edge and Cena.
So I'm not going to discredit anything that Christian and Orton did in 2011. Not at all. To me, in 2011, that was the second best feud in 2011.
Oh, right. Yeah.
First being Cena Punk.
Yes, absolutely. It was definitely overshadowed.
But one thing I've always said is there are three people that I thought always brought out the best in Cena. Edge, Punk, and Rock.
And Vince.
Well, yeah.
And Nikki.
She got him to propose to her.
Mark.
But I always felt that those three wrestlers always brought out the best in Cena.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all on that.
Whether it was promo, whether it was in-ring, whatever it was, those three guys always seemed to tap into a different element of Cena.
Although, you know what my favorite Cena match is?
What's that?
Him and Umaga from Royal Rumble 07.
That was an excellent match.
So I'm going to throw Umaga's name in there. RIP Umaga. But that was a kick-ass match, dude. You ever go back and watch that one? Holy crap.
Yeah, they beat the crap out of each other.
Yes, they did.
So anyways, I'm going to agree with you and say Edge and Cena for the WWE title in 06. But I do not want to discredit anything Christian and Orton did. Because each time those two locked up for the title, it seemed like each match got better.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I will agree with you on Edge and Cena, but I do not want to discredit anything that those two guys did.
Yeah, it's a slight edge to 06.
Is there a pun in there?
Oh, see, I did that and didn't even realize it. Excellent. Way to pick up on that.
Number two, who had the better theme? Ministry Taker or DX?
The better theme music?
Yes.
Wow, that's a softball. Dude, DX all the way.
I agree with you. Ministry Taker was kind of, it was catchy. But I got to agree with you. DX has always been one of the greatest themes ever.
Hands down.
Yeah.
I could still listen to it today and get down to it. Like, I love the DX theme. In fact, at the APW show on Saturday night when X-Pac came out, they played that. And dude, it was awesome. It was like 97, 98 all over again. It was great.
X-Pac was still there?
Yeah, he showed up.
Oh, cool.
Clean as a whistle, allegedly.
He wanted to bring it back to wrestling figures. He says, what is a dream defining moment, battle pack, and elite?
Ooh.
So, defining moment, the Savage WrestleMania 3 is getting made, so I can't...
That's it for me.
I can't tap into that well again, though, but it's still getting made. What's like another dream?
I don't know that I have another defining moment. That was the one I've wanted. I mean, unless you do Gobbledygooker with Egg, like that would be a killer defining moment. But the one I've always wanted is Macho Man in that robe. I mean, unless you did like a WrestleMania 5 version of it, I guess that would be my dream defining moments figure. A WrestleMania 5 Savage with the title.
You don't want the goon come with a hockey stick?
You know, that might be a good elite.
I don't know. Maybe a good defining moment would be Mantar with that big old bull helmet he had going on or whatever.
Or perhaps they could take it back to WCW and do a defining moment Van Hammer with a guitar.
Oh, yes. Very good. Very good.
What the hell are we talking about, Beavis?
These are defining moments, dude. These should be done.
Okay. Blacktop Bully, perhaps?
Or what about Arachnaman?
Okay, stop it. Will you stop?
Dream defining moment? That Macho. You know what? If you want to get technical, the Macho with the silver robe.
Yeah. You know, that one Randy Savage McFarlane statue that you have?
Uh-huh.
I would like to see that in a defining moment.
That would be sick.
But you're already getting the WrestleMania 3 Savage, so if we do get that, it won't be for a long time, but I guess that would have to be it. That would be my dream one.
Battle pack. I would probably say Mega Powers.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome. Mine would be an old school LOD. Like, it doesn't have to have pads or anything. Just give me Hawk and Animal in their 85 gear. Just the tights and the boots. I don't need the shoulder pads on them unless you want to throw them in. But give me Hawk and Animal from 85. I'm a happy camper.
And last, Elite. I think we talked about those with Mantar, Van Hammer.
Van Hammer and the like. Yeah, Blacktop Bully.
You know what's funny is a lot of people want an Isaac Yankum Elite.
Really? A lot of people?
I'm not lying to you. A lot of people want an Isaac Yankum Elite. Like, I kind of laughed at it when I saw that he was in a rumored lineup.
That's right. I do remember seeing that.
I've gone back and looked, and it looks like his name gotten taken out of the rumored lineup. And a lot of people Dude, I kid you not, a lot of people are disappointed by it.
Well, I could see that. I mean, if he actually did have a following, if people started like watching wrestling in like 94, 95, I guess he would have a following.
Yeah.
But I could throw two elite names at you that I would love to see.
Who's that?
One being from that same era, Hakushi.
Ooh, nailing the Japanese writing on him.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
Oh, that would be sick.
And let me give you a second name.
Who's that?
Michael P.S. Hayes.
He has to come in a Freebirds pack.
Well, see, that's the thing is if you don't get Gordy and Buddy Roberts, I'm okay with just Michael Hayes in the Confederate flag robe, the red tights, the long blonde hair, the white boots. Dude, that figure would be awesome. Put a microphone accessory with it. Money.
I don't think they could do the Confederate flag.
Really?
It's a little touchy subject.
Okay, do the American flag on the back then. Screw it.
But did he ever wear an American flag?
Doesn't matter.
Oh.
If you had to substitute something over it, just throw an American flag on there. We'll know what it is. It's okay.
In the Freebirds 3-pack that Jax did, they just threw him in a red robe. I thought that was cool.
See, that would work too. That would work. I mean, we all know what it was. 85 was a different era. But I would just love to see a throwback Michael Hayes to that Freebirds. Believe me, I would much rather have a 3-pack than a single Michael Hayes. But it just seems like that's a long shot, but at least they have Michael Hayes under contract right now and could release a figure of him if they wanted to.
That would be a good one, dude.
Oh, I'd love it.
What about a Jushin Thunder Liger?
That would be amazing.
Or a Muda.
Oh, see, dude. Yeah. Now you're talking my language. A Muda Elite with the jacket and the killer face paint. Oh, dude. That'd be awesome.
Scott, this question is actually for you and Shannon, Connor's last question.
Oh, okay.
Who is your favorite Pittsburgh Penguins player? And you just got trolled.
Wow. Wow. Connor used to be my favorite. Now he's just somebody that I used to know.
Do you remember at San Jose, the dude that was walking around in the Pittsburgh Penguins Sidney Crosby jersey?
Full heel.
Oh, dude. He was the most hated person in that arena before the show started.
Well, prior to Roman Reigns walking out of the curtain, that guy in the Penguins jersey was the biggest heel in the building.
Every time he got up to use the restroom or to grab food, dude, anytime he stirred in his seat, oh, he was getting booed big time.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing, jerk. I bet he walked out of there with a limp, too.
Probably?
I would guess. Somebody kicked him.
So you're going to answer Connor's question?
My favorite Pittsburgh Penguin player ever is Mario Lemieux.
Not Yager?
Not Yager.
Ah, okay.
Nah, I love Mario Lemieux. That guy, amazing. Maybe the best hockey player ever when you take into account how many years he played.
Meh.
I know. Oh, Gretzky, how? Okay, but look at the stats. If Mario Lemieux actually had a full career and didn't have to miss time due to miscellaneous things, he might have gone down to the greatest ever.
Well, that's not Gretzky's or Howe's fault.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I'm just saying, when you look at the games played, could be Lemieux.
Well, it's like in baseball, you could say Willie Mays was the greatest player ever if he didn't have to go to war.
I wouldn't argue with you if you said that he was.
Oh, well, never mind then.
See, I would say Jose Canseco.
Of course you would.
But a lot of people might argue with me on that point.
Scott, we were going to skip who did it better this week, but since this gentleman's birthday just passed this past week, I kind of wanted to kind of give him a little bit of a tribute of who did it better. Owen Hart's birthday was this past week. I believe it was this past Sunday, a week ago. And I thought, you know what? Let's just do who did it better, Owen Hart. He didn't have that many figures, but I thought, you know what? Why not? You know, I loved Owen. I love hearing stories.
Yeah, he was always one of your favorites.
Yeah, I loved Owen. I loved hearing the stories regarding Owen. Love hearing the ribs that he played, even on his dad, which was hilarious.
When he kicked Brett's leg out from under his leg.
Yes, that one too. So Scott, Owen had a Hasbro.
Yep.
Then nothing else until Jax.
He had a Bendy. Everybody forgets about the Bendies.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
Okay, maybe with good reason, but still, he had a Bendy.
You are correct. He had a Jax.
Yeah, he did have several Jax. I really, really like the original Jax that they did of him.
What about the two-pack with him and Brett?
Yeah, that's an excellent, excellent two-pack. In fact, Mitch Little, one of our followers and listeners, he has that two-pack hand-signed.
How he got those autographs, man.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And it just, you know, sticking yourself to a hobby. That's what Mitch does, man. And he's got the autographs paying off big time. Yeah, that is a beautiful two-pack. And I'll tell you, I really do like that blue blazer figure, too.
I think that's my favorite figure of his.
The blue blazer?
The blue robe, the blue mask. I know you can't see Owen, but everybody knows who's under the mask. I just loved everything about that figure. I have to say that is probably my favorite Owen Hart figure.
See, I'm torn between his first Jax, which I believe was also the same Owen that was in that two-pack with Brett.
Uh-huh.
There might have been a slight repaint, as Jax was known to do. Or his Hasbro, because I really, really thought that they captured Owen Hart so well in that Hasbro figure. The only drawback on that Owen Hart Hasbro is that he's in his high-energy outfit.
Yeah, he was in his high energy outfit. He had the blue pants. He was in the clothesline pose, wasn't he?
Yes, he was in the clothesline pose, which was great. That was a great pose for him. But they captured his face so, so well on that figure. I think the Hasbro is my favorite, but my favorite outfit is probably his King of Hearts outfit that's on the Jax figure.
And that one is also really good. I think he did he also have a stomp?
He did have a stomp, yes.
Ugh, let's forget about that one.
Yeah, we don't need to ever speak Stomp's name again. But let's also point out, you know, really, it's not anything that the Harts are doing to stop the release of an Owen Hart figure. It's his wife, or his widow, I should say. And that's unfortunate, because there are so many fans of Owen Hart that want figures of him. They want him in the Hall of Fame. They want merchandise of Owen, and we can't get it. I think if they can come to some sort of agreement to release Owen Hart merchandise and actually put the WWE hype machine behind Owen Hart again, you're going to open up a whole new generation of fans to Owen Hart what he did in the ring, what he did outside of the ring. I just think it's totally beneficial because here we are, what, almost 20 years after his death. It's time to start putting Owen Hart back out there again. You know, don't keep him in the shadows and just, you know, talk about him like we're doing right now. Let's get some merchandise out of him. Let's get some video packages together. Let's put him all over the network and his best matches and stories and put him back out there. Get more people talking about Owen Hart. Create new fans of his because the guy was amazing.
I wish they would. They did come out with that Blu-ray of Owen. But one Blu-ray over the past almost, as you said, 20 years just doesn't give him the justice that he deserves. He deserves the Hall of Fame. He deserves so much more. You're right. Martha is holding everything up. I know. Yep. And Chris DiPetrillo even said this on Breaker and Bane's podcast that he even went to the Owen Hart family to, he wanted to make a figure just as a tribute to him. It wasn't about profits. He really wanted to do an Owen Hart figure. And the family said, we appreciate it, but we're just not open to it right now.
Yep. And who knows what right now means? Like, are they thinking about it? Because, I mean, obviously, if they go with anybody, it would more than likely be WWE.
I don't know. Martha is not happy with WWE.
Well, you know, I have to hang my hat on the fact that I didn't think I'd ever see Randy Savage go into the Hall of Fame in my lifetime. And he ultimately did. So I have to hope that the same will happen for Owen Hart, that as more time passes, there'll be enough water under the bridge to say, you know what, let's just get over it, move forward, let's put Owen Hart back out there, create a new legion of fans of his to see what he did, admire his body of work for all that it was. And I just hope that he does go into the Hall of Fame one day and that we get a whole slew of new Owen Hart merchandise, specifically more Owen Hart figures.
Always been a big fan of Owen. I loved Owen. I was a little ticked at him when he cost Brett the title against Backlund, but I was a little miffed about that. Thought it was kind of lame, but you know, was he got his mom to throw in the towel?
Yeah.
It was a towel, yeah. Towel match.
Yeah. An I Quit match.
I think they got Towley from South Park. They threw him in.
Yeah, I think he was at ringside.
Yeah.
He wasn't concentrating on the match, though. His eyes were all red. But how great would a Hart Foundation set at Target, a la the Four Horsemen and Heenan family? How great would that be?
Oh, dude, you're speaking my language, man.
Yep. You would do Brett, Jim, Owen, and either Bulldog or Pillman.
Oh, you're speaking my language, dude. You're touching all my senses over there.
See? I'm reaching out and I'm touching you.
let's move on. But the bottom line is she's holding things up and just kind of have to respect that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just you hope that as more time passes, it'll start to heal a little bit more and we'll have more Owen Hart stuff.
From what I've heard, it really angered the Owen Hart family that they put out the Blu-ray. I think that WWE kind of did. Now, don't quote me on this. This is rumor. I've kind of heard that when they put out the Blu-ray, the Owen Hart family got a little miffed.
Yeah, I guess it's understandable. If you did it and they didn't want you to, you're going to piss some people off.
WWE, I don't know if they were doing it just to make money. You know Vince, he's all about the money.
Yeah, of course.
But
of course,
it's a way to keep Owen's memory alive and, you know, do something on the network. Like you said, put something on there. Put Owen Hart's greatest matches on there. You know, put stuff on the network of Owen. That, it just makes us happy. It makes us smile. It reminds us of Owen.
Yeah. If Warrior and Savage could reconcile, even Kurt Angle, you know, there's all these feel-good stories about people reconciling. I just hope that Martha can do it one day as well.
Yeah. Scott, that is it for episode 69, Snoogans. Remember, head on over to whatamaneuver.net. Keep your eyes, actually bookmark that page, the Fully Posable page, because you're going to see a new design going up here pretty soon.
Oh, I can't wait.
But in the meantime, pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt. That is looking sleek on me.
Sleek? Sun's out, guns out?
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Beautiful.
We need Fully Posable underwear.
Maybe Speedos?
Yeah, I could tan in those.
Thanks for that visual.
Yes, head on over to whatamaneuver.net. I know winter is passing and summer is coming, so pick up those tank tops, pick up those white breathable t-shirts, pick up those Fully Posable t-shirts. You can choose from tanks, unisex tees, women's tees, v-necks, whatever you want. Pick those up over at whatamaneuver.net. And you can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. Give us those 5-star skis. That helps us out a lot. And you can email us any questions, comments, wish list, FullyPosableWFP@gmail.com. Or you can email us an audio question like Dave Dynasty did. Thank you again, Dave, for that audio question. So, Scott, for episode 69, anything else?
Also, Fully Posable on Ringside Collectibles will save you 10%.
Yes.
So, happy toy hunting.
Yes, go on there. Use our code FULLYPOSABLE, all one word. So, Scott, anything else?
69.
Hashtag fig life. Adios.